are about to hear a life-changing message that was preached at First Love Memphis by Reverend Kojo Orleans Lindsay. Now relax and be blessed as you enjoy this anointed word.
It gets sweeter and sweeter, day by day. Yes, it does.
To be in the house of God. The Bible says in Psalm 37 from verse number 25. In fact, let's go to verse 23. The steps of a righteous man, they are ordered by the Lord. And God is interested in his way, delights in his way. Do you know God is excited about what you do? He delights in his way. Then verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholds him with his right hand, with his hand. Do you know something? Many Christians, when they fall, they tend to try to lie down and stay there. You are wrong. Bible says the righteous falleth seven times but shall rise up again. You know what? Anytime something doesn't work, if you are indeed in the Lord, say, ha, this is not my position. Because of who I am, I'm not utterly cast. To be utterly cast down means that's your permanent position. That you are done for. Says, he shall not be utterly cast down. So you know what? Falling down is a temporary position. Don't make it permanent. For the Lord upholds, means holds him up with his hand. See, when the Lord is holding you up with your hand and you are like a dead body, all you want to do is fall down. You will be down. Yeah, you will be down. Come, let me show them. You see, I'm trying to, you will be down. Be down. I'm trying to, you see, no, don't tear your clothes. It's a bit tight. This man, when I saw him, he was slimmer, so I can't use him anymore. Go sit down before you tear. By the time you realize your wife is accusing me of disgracing you here. But if, as he's done, him trying to pull him, he's just staying down. That's a problem. The Lord upholds, holds you up, not holds you down. Uphold, you are held up. There is something holding you up. So that your position, a pendulum or something may be going back and forth. He's being held up. That touch on the ground is only temporary. It's a bouncing. It's a bounce. You just touch and pick something about you on your way. It's a transit. Hallelujah. And I want you to understand that anytime. Look, recently a few things happened to me and I said, man, they have never happened to me before. I've never changed jobs before. Never. Suddenly changed. It was so, no warning, nothing. It had to happen one day. Boom. I was confused. And then as I prayed and I saw a few scriptures. It is not easy, but it's not your position to be down. You will rise up again. And then I realized as things unfolded, it was a temporary position. Bible says that God had to take Joseph, or even Abraham, or you know, many of the people that God used, he had to take them out before sending them in. Had to bring Israel out because he was sending them into the land flowing with milk and honey. A separation. Out. Had to bring them out. Had to bring Joseph out of his father's house so that he could be prime minister and save the rest. Yes. Had to bring Abraham out of his father's house. Grown man with beard. You are living with your parents, married. What kind of behavior is that? And then he didn't know where he was going. Brought out. But the ultimate thing God was giving was joy. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Bible says the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but is righteousness, please. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Put a scripture up. kingdom is not just in you eat and you drink. No, righteousness, peace, and joy. Today we are coming to pray about joy. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I said we are coming to pray about joy in the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want us to first of all thank the Lord for the meat and drink that he's given us. But you know, how many know that you can eat and still go home depressed? How many know that if you are depressed, you can't enjoy your food? So God is not about meat and drink. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I want us to rise to our feet and thank God for meat and drink. Meat and drink. Whatever the Lord has given you, basically, please put your meat and drink. Meat and drink means what you're able to eat and drink. God has given you in the name of Jesus Christ. Begin to thank God for the basic things. There are many things you need, but God has given you the basic things. Meat and drink. At least something to drink. At least you have water to drink. There are some people, not even water, not even juice, but God has given you food to eat. This morning you are here. You had something to eat. Something to eat yesterday. Why are you not grateful? Many times we are not grateful for meat and drink. Many times we are not grateful for the little things that the Lord would do for us. Are you grateful for your clothing? That you are not coming naked? Are you grateful that you are not homeless? Oh, open your mouth. Shake the person by you and say, open your mouth and thank the Lord for what he has done already. What is done already? What is done already? What is done already? Father, thank you for meat and drink. Thank you for the water that I drank. Thank you for the fish that I ate. Thank you for the meat that I ate. Thank you for the McDonald's. Thank you, oh God, for that fast food. Thank you for the food that was on my table. There are many who are hungry, but you gave me food. For the very basic things, like my clothes, like water to drink, water to take a shower with, meat to eat, strength. I want to bless your name. I want to thank you. In the name of Jesus, you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We are, for that alone, we are grateful. For that alone, we are grateful. But Bible, your word says, oh Lord, that but the kingdom that you're in, my brother, my sister, is about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about joy in the Holy Ghost. If you lack in these things, meat and drink will never satisfy you. Never satisfy you. Because that's not what it's about. It's about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And I want us to pray that God will give us these three. God will conform us to his kingdom. Bible says in John chapter 16 verse 24. Hitherto have you asked nothing from me. Ask that you may receive, that your joy may be full. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive. That you may receive. Not you shall. Tell somebody you shall receive.
You shall receive.
I don't know what it is that has taken away your joy. I don't know what it is that makes you unhappy, cranky. That makes you depressed. God says he's about to provide that thing. Because his kingdom is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He wants to give you peace. He wants to give you joy. It takes a certain righteousness to have faith in God. Yeah. Bible says righteousness which cometh by faith. By faith. By faith. Faith is righteousness. Righteousness is faith. So when you are somebody who prays about things, you are a man of faith. You are a man of righteousness. That's a right way by God to acquire what you need to acquire. When I was down, it was God that I called on. And my boy, has my joy been full of what? Your joy shall be full. That your joy may be full. That your joy may be full. even the righteousness which is by faith. So the kingdom is righteousness. One, that's a prayer. Prayer makes it's a righteous act. Peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Bible says, see that too, you've asked nothing. Today, ask. Don't be ashamed. Is it a husband you're looking for? Is it a behavior change you're looking for? Is it your attitude you want to change? Is it your Christianity that's a problem? Is it about your fornication? Is it about your finances? Is it about your clothes? Even if it's clothes you need, don't be ashamed to ask, my brother, my sister. Because that's one of the reasons why you look morose. And God says his people, he wants them to be joyful. Begin to pray for that thing, that your joy may be full. Some of our joy is half. We look here, we can smile. But when we look here, we are crying. God wants both places to be about shouting. Begin to pray. Pray, pray. What is it that you need? Pray for it, that your joy may be full. You have asked nothing, man. Ask, ask. You asked your uncle, it didn't work. You asked your boss, it didn't work. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask the Father. Open your mouth, kids. Ask. You asked your mother, she said no. You asked your father, there's not even a father to ask. You asked your boss, but now the King of Kings, the Father Everlasting, is here. Ask, rise your feet, brother, and ask the Lord. Can you rise your feet, please? And pray. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. Ask. Don't be quiet. Ask. Tell the Lord, this is it. Father, may you bring church growth. May everyone, oh God, be filled with the Holy Ghost. I pray that in this church, it will be spirit-filled. Power of God, salvation will abound. You will increase us with men like a flock. The joy of the Lord shall be our strength in this church. That every ministry will be populated. Everyone, oh God, Christ will be formed in us. By your Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus, that your joy may be full, that your anointing will bring the gift of the Spirit. Miracles, signs and wonders, healings will abound in our church, in the name of Jesus Christ, that many souls shall be born again right here, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. We give you glory. Jesus. Joel 1:12. Finally, Joel 1:12. Somebody is about to receive something great. Amen. Because of this prayer. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Joel, Bible says the vine is dried up. The fig tree languisheth. Your pomegranate tree, palm tree also, apple tree, even all the trees in the field are withered. How can you be happy? The thing that brought you supply is gone. Why is it withered? Because joy is withered away from the sons of men. What is the Lord saying? He says you may not see the connection, but when your joy is down, many of the things that can bring you what you need also wither. When you're not happy, your marriage withers. Your job withers. Even your finances, there's no strength to do it. It's because the real thing you need is joy. Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. So when there is no joy, there is no strength to do anything. God is bringing you joy because he wants to give you strength. He wants to lift you up again. The answer is in the joy of the Lord. When the devil attacks, he attacks your joy. When you are depressed, you can even kill yourself. God forbid. Today, ask the Lord, Lord, deliver me from the withering of my joy. Let my joy stay. Let my joy be full. Let my joy be strong. Pray, pray that joy unspeakable, full of glory will come to me. Ask the Lord, Lord, give me joy. Give me the garment of praise for the spirit of depression and heaviness. In the name of Jesus, let my joy not wither. Let my joy not wither. I pray my joy will be full. My joy will be intact. My joy will be prominent. I will be a happy person. I will be a joyful person. That the joy of the Lord will be my strength. That the joy of the Lord will sustain me. Will sustain my bones. Will sustain my finances. Will sustain my spiritual life. Will sustain my family. Will sustain my health. And every aspect. Thank you that my joy will not wither, but my joy will rather be full. That the joy of the church will not wither, it will rather be full. It will rather be full. It will rather be full. In the name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory, we give you praise. Somebody is receiving a supernatural leash of heavenly joy. Of heavenly joy, of supernatural power, the joy of the Lord will make everything possible. You are withering, you are weak, but God is strengthening you because of the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Thank you. Begin to thank the Lord for joy. Thank the Lord for supply. Thank the Lord for his miraculous hand. In Jesus Christ's mighty name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. Tell somebody, I see the joy of the Lord filling you up. Tell somebody, turn to somebody and tell the person, the joy of the Lord is your strength and you will never lack in the name of Jesus Christ. Ah, give somebody, give the Lord a jump, a jump, a jump, a jump. I wanna say joy, joy, joy. I wanna say peace, peace, peace. This is what my God has for me. This is what my God has for me. I wanna say joy, joy, joy. I wanna say peace, peace, peace. This is what my God has for me. This is what my God play. I wanna say love, love, love. I wanna say free, free, free. This is what, come on, bro. Give me something. This is what my God. I want to say joy, joy, joy. I want to say peace. Come on, come on. This is what my God has for me. This is what my God has for me. Today, today, today. This is what my God has for me. Today. Today, today, this is what my God wants for me. Today, clap for the Lord Jesus.
We have a powerful ministration awaiting you. Please welcome our very own LPBDR.
Gifted people, oh Lord, silent, you will be judged for that talent. Oh Lord, I have so many fears in me.
Only one talent.
I'm afraid people will laugh at me.
Only one talent.
I don't.
That
The Spirit of the Lord is here. You know, this week some of you may have been bound by your sin. Some of you may have been bound about situations, what have you, your children, your job. But the Bible says where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen. There's freedom here today. And God has anointed a powerful man of God to bring that Spirit to you, to bring the Word of God to you, to speak the Word into your life. And if you just receive it in faith, be on your feet and please welcome the powerful man of God, our Father, our Daddy, Reverend Kojo Orleans Mendez.
Heavenly Father, you are not called everlasting Father for nothing. We don't say Father because it's just a way to start a prayer, but we are addressing our Daddy, our provider, our protector, our promoter, our encourager, our source and sustenance. That's who you are. You are the lover of our lives, lover of our souls, Savior of our lives. And this morning, with appreciation and humility, we stand before your throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help us in this our time of need. Help us by your Holy Spirit. Mighty Holy Spirit, take your place. I cancel and curse every plan of Satan, and I declare freedom, salvation, deliverance, wisdom, your power to come through and bring obedience to its fullest. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Take over, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord and smile to three people. Smile to three people. Just smile. Just be nice. You can shake somebody. You can smile. You can even bump somebody a little in love. Just don't make them cry. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Wow. Someone say, Mama, Mama, Mama. Hallelujah. What a service. I'm blessed already. You know, this is a very rich service. And I believe that the Holy Spirit is giving us these services for a purpose. Next Sunday, we are going to have a miracle service by the grace of God. Put your hands together for Jesus. Yeah, next Sunday, we are having what we call a turning point service. God will turn your situation around in the name of Jesus Christ. Bring as many people as you can who are sick, who have situations. Only thing you should come along with, apart from that person, is your faith. Because you're not coming to meet a man. You are coming to meet God. Amen. The power of God will be here. And I believe that things will be turned around. Darkness will flee. Disorder will go away. Confusion will not stay. So next week, tell somebody it's Turning Point Service next Sunday. Tell somebody something will turn around, something will turn about in your life. Yeah, you come and meet your turning point. The day I met Jesus, I had a turning point. The day our brother met that wife's counsel, there was a turning point. A word will turn you around. You just need one word. You just need one touch. You just need a touch of the anointing. Somebody say, I'm ready in Jesus' name. I can't wait for next Sunday by the grace of God. I believe the angels will abound in this place. The Holy Spirit will saturate every place. Your sickness, that will be the last time you will bring your sickness here in Jesus' name. Because it will not go back home with you in Jesus' name. And your situations. Those who have been jobless for years, come. And when you are coming, come with some oil. A little bit of oil. Yeah. Because the anointing, the holy anointing oil will flow in Jesus' name. So come with a bottle of oil, a little bottle. Even if you can't find oil, you can borrow some oil from somebody. Because God will touch you with the oil of glory. Hallelujah. I am very, very, very in anticipation mode, full of faith for what God will do. And he will do something great in Jesus' name. Tell somebody, I can't wait. Can you? So next week, if you don't come early, I'm sorry, you may have to sit either on stage or on the floor somewhere. Because I believe that the place will be jam-packed by the grace of God. Both with angels and with men and women in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Or if you believe it, clap your hands. If you can clap, your miracle has started. And the louder you shout, the bigger your miracle shall be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. Someone say, ma. Jesus is Lord. So we want to continue where we left off last Sunday. How many remember what we were preaching of about last Sunday? Give me a wave if you remember. If you don't remember what we're preaching about, give me a wave. You two, you are here. Okay. What were we preaching about? Tithing. Sowing seeds. The power of the tithing seed. So the real title is The Mysterious Purposes of the Tithe. It's a mystery. You see, a mystery is something that is hidden. A mystery is something that is not easily identified. Most people that are told about tithe, it's a mystery. They can't understand. They can't even believe it. I could not. You know, many times what you need to do with a mystery is to get somebody who has actually applied the mystery with results and just follow his faith. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, don't be lazy or slothful, but be followers of those who through faith and patience, they inherit the promises. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse number 12. Now, what does this mean? This means that when you need to do something to acquire the promises, say the Lord promises that if you, he says that, bring all your the tithe into my storehouse and prove me with this, whether I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you will not have enough room. Junior, may you not have enough room to contain the blessings that are coming your way in Jesus' name. Now, for you to inherit this promise, you must not be lazy about what he did. First of all, don't be lazy about giving tithe. But follow those who through faith and patience, they have actually embraced or inherited. It's in this, those promises. Now, some people have a lot of faith. They give the tithe, but they have no patience. They gave the tithe. It's like, Lord, now or never. If by tomorrow you don't do anything, forget it, I'll never pay tithe again. You have faith but no patience. You just neutralize your faith with your impatience. Plus one minus one is still equal to zero. There are also people who are too patient. There's no faith. That is, you pay tithe, you pay tithe. You don't believe one bit that something great is coming. You are just going through the motions because somebody will ask, why did he not pay? Okay, me, I'm patient. But you don't believe in, there's no faith. It's also negating. You are too patient, your faith is zero. Plus one minus one is still zero. So we are here to combine both. People with faith, people with patience. Put your hands together for Jesus. Now, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 8 and verse number 22, I hope that's where the scripture is. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now, for those of you who have tithed, who are sitting and saying, oh, it don't work, I have news for you. Bible says after the seed, between the seed and harvest is something very important called time. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Time. Seed, time, then harvest. Seed, time, then harvest. That's where, for those who have faith, they plant the seed. For those who have patience, they give time. And when those two combine, there's a big harvest. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Seed, time, and harvest will never cease. Will never cease. In his own time, he will make everything beautiful. But ladies and gentlemen, what are we talking about? This seed. And that's what we explained last week. That throughout all creation, God has done only one thing. Genesis chapter 1. Bible says in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the waters. And the next verse, Patricia, I expect you. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. I don't have to repeat this New King James thing again, okay? And there was light. And God saw that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, let's keep going. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Someone say the first day. I'm going to tell you, your miracle usually takes place on the third day. It's never changed. Day three. Hosea chapter 6. Always the third day. Now, day two is coming. Now, verse 6. God called the light in verse 6. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. 7. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters from under, that were under, from the waters that were above the firmament. And it was so. Verse 8. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the third day, were the second day. Someone say the third day is coming. Let's see what happens on the third day. Then God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together in one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Then verse 10, God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called the seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, third day is happening. Verse 11. Then God said, someone say the third day is happening. He said, let the earth bring forth grass. Grass. Let it also bring forth the herb that yields seed. And the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on this earth. Whose seed is in itself on this earth. And it was so. Now, guess this. Get this. And the earth brought forth grass and herb that yields seed. Someone say, herb yields seed. When God talks, what's a herb? A herb is medicinal. A herb is something that replenishes, repairs, corrects, heals. To heal means something was wrong. To repair means something was broken. To replenish means something was depleted. God, the source and the thing, herb that yields seed according to its kind. Ladies and gentlemen, the thing that God has placed to define the introduction of seed is the word herb. It's the word repair. It's the word replenish. It's the word restore. I tell you, seed is meant for restoration. Anybody that eats seed instead of plants it, you are not likely to be restored or replenished when you are depleted. Because that's a herb. That's a medicine part of it. God knows that truly, when we eat, there will be a deficiency. Something needs to restore. Something needs to repair. Something is needed to replenish. And he brought it in the form of the seed and even called his introduction herb. Yes. The herb that yields seed. Herb yielding seed. According to its kind. And the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself. According to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Ladies and gentlemen, last week I explained that this was the creation. God created the heaven and the earth for 6 days and rested on the seventh day and blessed that seventh day. He didn't do anything. Since then, God has not created anything anymore. If I am wrong, find it from the Bible and tell me. After the 6 day till now, there has been no creation. Everything that we ever needed was created in the first 6 days. The rest was about cycles, replenishment, replacement, restoration. That's all. And God put mankind and gave him the seed. That is what God provided. After that, it was about creating mankind, creating animals, creating. That's all he did. But once the seed was there, it was over. God had finished his work. And he put man to till the ground. And he gave man that everything that man needs, even the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that you see that is yielding fruit, the seed that needs to be producing the fruit, it's in itself. Yes. The seed is in the fruit. When they say that tree that yields fruit, whose seed in itself? It's not the seed, it's in the seed. It's in the fruit. The last thing that was said, the tree that yields fruit, that fruit whose seed is in itself. Ladies and gentlemen, when God gives me $100 at the workplace, $100 exactly is what I have here. This is the fruit. The seed is in itself. The seed is in this fruit. The seed is in this fruit. If I eat the fruit and I eat the seed, there is no seed. There is no replenishment. There is no restoration. Many people that run themselves down on the tithe are running themselves down on their replenishment activity. 10% is all God is looking for. God creates a big fruit. Give me some fruit. And puts little seeds, 10% of even small, is what is left there. And he says, eat the fruit. Eat the 90%. Plants, because the fruit you want more, that fruit, the more fruit is in the fruit you are eating. If you can understand this, look at this apple, beautiful as it is. You got to cut it, slice it nicely, see the seeds that are there. When I finish eating, there are planters and there are eaters. If I eat, something, It's crisp and juicy. Mm. See this sign? I'm spitting out the seed because I'm thinking about my future. I'm thinking about not just eating, but eating again. That after this, something must produce this again. Its seed is in itself. If I eat everything and I eat the seed, it becomes poo-poo. When I plant it, it becomes more apples, more fruits. Clap for the Lord Jesus. That's the tithe. See. Let me go for oranges. No, I'll sow the seeds for you. They gave me in thousands. This was 100. I started work. Now I'm paid in thousands. That's orange time. I eat. The fruit of the thousands is in itself. When God gives you thousands, you're paying your tithe in hundreds. When he gives you hundreds, you're paying in tens. It's a type of seed that you sow that determines the type of fruits. Seed. When I get to the thousands, I will still give my seed. I'm not a fool. God never creates anymore. He stopped creating. If you eat your seed, you finish your creation. That's what it is. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You can afford to eat. Oh, the seed is choking me. When your tight seed is choking you, don't call for water. Just spit it out. Just spit it out. Don't call for water to push it down. Bring it out, my brother. Otherwise, your future is in question. So when I get my $100, 20, 40, 60, 80, 90, and then 100. So I look and I select out 100, my best, cleanest $10 note. I buy shoes. I pay bills. I pay my car, whatever. Buy a car for my children. No, my wife has taken my best car. She shouldn't bring herself. I can assure you, I can spend all this. So long as this is here, I have hope. Clap for the Lord Jesus. So long as I don't eat the seed, I have hope. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason why seed is not as nice as fruit, because it's not meant to be eaten. It's not meant to be eaten. Seed is bitter. May your tithe, if you are eating, may it be bitter so that you can't eat it in Jesus' name. Yeah, may it be bitter. May you feel the bitterness that this is wrong thing I'm eating. There's a reason. It's either bitter. You may swallow it. There is little nourishment in seeds. Although it can produce great nourishment if you sow it. And it can even break your teeth. Yeah. Mango seeds. Try swallowing the peach seed. Even the orange. It's not nice. Listen, naturally, no seed is meant. God intentionally made beautiful, sweet oranges, but seed bitter. Because he never intended for it to be eaten. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And by the way, you will say, oh, the seed is for medicine. Well, if you eat right, you will not even need medicine. Yeah. Diseases come because we eat wrong. A lot of times. If you eat in the right portions. Right portions equivalent is if you eat not the tithe, but the 90%. My brother said something. If you are here and you blame the reason why you don't pay tithe as I don't have enough. Let me tell you that statement. He said, if the 90% could not satisfy your bills,
You must be a fool to think 10% will satisfy you. You must be a fool to think 10% is what will make the difference. You must be a fool. Not you. They didn't come. Not you. I don't mean you are. I said if you continue to do that, doing that, you will be like that. If 90%, think about it. I have $900 and it doesn't satisfy me. You think it's the $100 extra. If I can sow it, unless you don't believe. If I can sow it, look, jobs. Bible says the silver and the gold, they are mine. If I needed something, I wouldn't ask you. The cattle on 1,000 hills, not 1 hill, 1,000, they are mine. If I needed something, I won't beg you. God does not need your tithe. If you like, don't pay. God does not need. Can you not see? You have not been paying tithe, but the church is full, but you're paying our bills. That the church is okay. Nobody will come and beg you. If you like, pay. But you must be wise. I'm telling you. I have to say it this way. Because that's the truth.
Seed. Tithes. Don't be jealous. I paid my seat. Don't be jealous. When I buy my car, because you ate your seat. Don't be jealous if I can pay my bills because you decided not to sow your seat. Don't be jealous. When I'm happy, don't be jealous. I prophesy that you'll be happy. I prophesy that you pay your bills. You'll never lack a job because you sow the seed. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Nobody here under the sound of my voice will suffer because you didn't sow your seed. Nobody, not one. You watch it. You will not go borrowing around and asking people for favors of your obedience. Walk in obedience. Many of us have been deceived by the devil that you are being cheated. The audacity. Even your little self, just like my little self, to look God in the eye and say, God is cheating me. Because he dared to say, he's going to give you $1,000, only bring 100. That's what is cheating. Then you are the biggest cheat. If you can cheat God, you are the biggest cheat, not God, not the pastors. Yeah. If you can understand this, your life is going to fly. Your life is going to fly. Jacob was a thief, supplanter, evil, until he started tithing. Then suddenly, where he went to live, Laban, his uncle, said, the Lord has blessed me because of you. Because a tithe payer has come into my house. One day, a pastor was picked up from the airport to a big conference. And as they're going, he asked the pastor who was the guy who was sent to pick him up. Brother, so how long have you been in church? So, 10 years. What are you? I'm a deacon. And I'm the personal, chauffeur for, the pastor's kids. And then he asked the question, by the way, do you pay your tithe? And I started making stories. Because of certain problems and issues and situations and challenges, tithing is a future thing. I'm believing God for a certain breakthrough, then I'll start. Then the pastor says, stop the car now. Get me down. You're a dangerous person. You are not covered by the blessing of the Lord. Get me down. I will take an Uber rather than sit inside with somebody who knows 10 years of preaching and you still decide not to pay tithe. You are disobedient. Get me out now. I'd rather be with an Uber unbeliever guy. Because he doesn't even understand the tithe. You understand and you're not paying. Get me out. And he got out. Tell somebody, it's dangerous to be a non-tithe payer. I'm preaching from this book.
why non-tithing Christians become poor and how tithing Christians can become rich. That's a book I'm preaching from by Bishop Doug Ewart Mills. You can buy one. Why non-tithing Christians become poor and how tithing Christians can become rich. Clap for the Lord Jesus. And the book is covered with seeds everywhere. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. So long as you can keep sowing, you should keep eating. More, more. I want more. It's too good. I've eaten, I'm even sweating. I've sown, I'm even sweating. Sowing. Ladies and gentlemen, John chapter 15, verse 5. John chapter, in fact, what about this? Psalm 15, rather. Or Psalm 126 is even better. Let me show you this first. Psalm 126, verse 5. Bible says, those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Then, verse 6. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seeds for sowing. When you are coming to the tithe, sometimes it's not easy, brother. You come in with your $100, but you have a bill. Oh, Lord, you again. Church again, tithing time again. I know the feeling. I know the feeling because I've been there. I've been there. Look, this thing I told Pastor Richard, that give the first salary away. When I got my first salary as a gastroenterologist, I gave it away. I told myself, Lord, you asked for 10%, but I've not had a job for years. If you give me a job, my first salary, I would assume that I didn't have a job 2 weeks ago, that I just did volunteer work. You ask for 10, you deserve more. I'll give you 100. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Then I remembered that I have somebody called my father and my mother. So you know what? I divided the money in two, the whole salary in two. Give 50% to Daddy God, spiritual father, instead of 10. And I give 50% to my mother and my father to honor them. Why? Because I believe the source of my life is God. But he passed me through parents. They both deserve it. But they cannot be equal with God. So you keep 25, 25, and God can take 50. Since that day, it's been a good journey. Clap for the Lord Jesus. I don't know who it is here who does not have a job. But if God blesses you with a job, tell yourself you will never lose this job again. And tell the Lord, I am locking you down on this. If you are true God, prove yourself. And he will. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Amen. Faith and patience. But on a regular basis, 10%, I am excited about it. But even if you are not excited about it, don't worry, do it. Because Bible has a prophecy for you. But if you continually come forth weeping with tears, bearing your sowing seed, you shall doubtless come again the next time with rejoicing. Clap for the Lord Jesus. The first one is usually painful. But this man, now he does it with rejoicing, even testifies about it. Your pain, you don't want tears, you'll never have joy. No pain, no gain. So the problem with you, non-tithe payer, is that you are immune. You don't like crying. Don't worry. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Clap for the Lord Jesus. Weeping is short-lived. I haven't seen, even people that your whatever has died. My mother died. My father died. I cried, but look at me. Joy is longer than sorrow. That's how God made it. You will not be crying for long. He says, you shall no doubt come again, this time with rejoicing. And when you are coming, you are bringing forth sheaves with you. Your tithe will increase. May your salary today become your tithe tomorrow in Jesus' name. You don't understand. I said, may your today's salary, tomorrow may it become your tithe in Jesus' name. That means if your salary is $1,000 and you pay 100, may it multiply by 10. Such that next time you come, you don't pay 100, you pay 1,000. Somebody made that prophecy to us and it has happened. Clap for the Lord Jesus. May your salary today, if you walk in obedience, become your tithe tomorrow. It's only for believers. It's not for people who are looking at me telling me, it will never happen. Huh? It will never happen. Fine, no problem. I'm not God, but I can speak the word of God. And it will come to pass for those who believe. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, the gospel came to us. For indeed the gospel that was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them. They didn't benefit from it. Why? Because they did not mix with faith when they heard it. Tell somebody, are you mixing it with faith or with doubt? Well, time will tell. Time will tell. Think about it. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy chapter 26. From verse number 1. Deuteronomy. And it shall be when you are come, New King James. Sister girl, last warning. And it shall be then, when you come into the land which the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and you possess it, and you dwell in it. Listen, there's coming a job to somebody here. Say, it's me. Say, it's me. Say, I receive it. There's coming a promotion to somebody here. Say, I receive it. There's coming a blessing your way. Say, I receive it. You are the one. But God says it will come. It will be your land. And it will be coming from the Lord who is giving to you personally for your inheritance. It means you wouldn't even work. Some of you have been putting in applications, but your job will come from somebody who will speak to you and say, I have a job for you. Amen. You didn't work for that. Amen. He will give you as an inheritance and you will actually possess it. And you will dwell in it. It's not everything you have that you dwell in it. Sometimes you have something, but they say when you finish paying, then you come and take it. That's not your possession. Possess and dwell in it. God says he'll give you the money. It will be in your wallet. It will be in your bank account. It will be your bona fide property. It will be accessible to you. Usable by you. Labeled with your name. Anytime you want it. When that has come like this, is mine in my wallet. Listen to what happens. God is instructing us. Verse 2. That when you get that, you shall take some of that first of all, every produce of your ground. Your ground, but some, that 10%, which you shall bring from your land. It's your money. Don't be like Ananias and Sapphira. They sold their own property, but they lied about it. Instead of bringing, or they took half. Like some of you come to pay tithe, you bring 2% instead of 10%. Bring that from your land, the land that the Lord your God is giving you, he's giving you, and put it in a basket and go to the place. Give me an envelope. Go to the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. Somebody bring a basket. Uh-huh. And bring it to the place where the Lord's name is. Stand there. The Lord's name is. That's the house of God. Bring it to the house of God. I'm telling you how to pay the tithe. He said, put it in an envelope, put it in a basket, put it in something and bring it yourself. And when you come, bring it to the place where God's name has been put, the church of God, the body of Christ. Yeah, the Kodesh, the holy hill. He has chosen that place to make his name abide and stay. How many know the presence of God is here? You can't doubt it because it's real. Verse 3, and you shall go to the one who is priest of that day in those days. Whoever the priest is, if it's me, bring it to me. If it's Pastor Richard, if it's Pastor Daniel, bring it to him. That's why I stand here. I said, bring your tithe. Says, and say, I declare today that the Lord God that I have come to, is because of the Lord I have come to this country, which the Lord swore to our fathers to give us. Just declare that this that I'm bringing is God who gave it to me. Yeah. Many people, you don't think it's God who has given it. I have worked. Create your own oxygen. Create your own water. Create your own apples. And when you've eaten and you've slept nicely, wake yourself up. God, you have given it to me. I'm bringing the seed. I'm putting an envelope. The seeds. The seeds. Put an envelope. Put an envelope. $10. Put in an envelope. The seed. And the Lord promised to give you. He has given you. Acknowledge it. That I didn't get it from my brother, from my boss, from my wife. But it's the Lord who gave it to me. Then the next, verse 4. Then the priest shall take the basket from your hand. Your envelope. And set it down himself before the altar. Boom. That's why I do what I do. Of the Lord your God. Then verse 5. And you shall answer and say before the Lord your God. When you are coming to tithe, you should pray. My father was a Syrian about to perish. Some of you, your parents could not have the kind of dollars you have. They may not have even spent dollars before. And he went down to Egypt and dwelt there, few in number. And there he came as a nation, great, mighty, and populous. You are even acknowledging the source of your life. That even the fact that you exist in this world, God chose somebody to bring you forth. And the person perhaps was not as blessed as you. The next verse, verse 6. But the Egyptians mistreated us, afflicted us, laid hard bondage on us. See the narration as we're coming? The narration. Narrating that, look, there's a story behind this, my bounty. There's a story behind this, my salary. Many of you have testimonies that you haven't given. Each tithing time is a testimony time to say. As I was giving my tithe today, I was writing my tithe. I told my wife, there's a big story behind this. I've been thinking about it yesterday. And as I'm coming to give my tithe, it's ringing in my heart. Verse 7. Then we cried out to the Lord God. We were suffering. We cried out to the Lord God, our fathers. And the Lord heard our voice and looked on our affliction and our labor and our oppression. Many of you prayed to the Lord for a job. You didn't have a job. But immediately you got that job, you forgot God. Many of you, you pray to God for many things, but you never remembered him. Just like I gave my children food, but when it's time that they were eating, I asked for a little. They said, no, daddy, no. Go for your food from mommy. That's what they told me. I said, these guys, they don't know where mommy got the source of food. Verse 8. After we cried, praying, the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, eager to help. God wants his people to enjoy. You will never suffer again. May you never suffer again. May the Lord be a blessing to you from today. As you acknowledge him day by day, with an outstretched arm, like the prodigal son,
with great terror and with great signs and wonders. You need to begin to see a miracle in that $20 that you got. Not everybody has it. With signs and wonders. This money, I can assure you, when I was coming to the United States, I was not spending this kind of money. This money that now I can give you as a gift? No. I remember, Bible says, remember the stone from which you were hewn. I didn't even have a suitcase. One day I was going for an interview and I had a suitcase that it was, I couldn't buy a carry-on. So it had no handle. I had to put it on the top of my head at Times Square to go for the interview. I still remember. I will never forget. God has done signs and wonders. It's only ungrateful people that will not see it. Clap for the Lord. You won't clap too. You used never to earn. You used to beg for money. Signs and wonders. Then verse 9. He has brought us to this place now where now we earn a little. I don't know whether you earn salary or you earn, what is it called, fixed income. Unemployment benefits. It's still income. Stop asking. It's still an increase. Stop asking and give to the Lord. Yes. I'm telling you the way out of this bondage. Fixed or variable income is still from the Lord. Not everybody has what you have. You've got something. And children, that pocket money, start to believe God. For that, start to believe God. It's going to be a blessing. When I was a child, my parents would give me little pocket money. I'll pay tithe out of it. I would never forget. It's not because I had a lot, but because I believed for a lot in God. It's not what I had, but what I'm believing God for. Because I believe in the power of the seed, not the eating of the fruit. There was enough fruit around that seed. They gave me $10. Fine. You may be given a $100 tithe, but I have only $1 tithe. Sometimes 60 cents tithe. Yeah, sometimes it was hard to round it up to $1. I would change it and bring the 60 cents. Because the 40 cents is not easy to give. No problem. It makes a difference. But I did. Because I believed in the signs and wonders. It's not every parent that can give the children pocket money. And that habit was a lifesaver. He has brought us to this place and has given us this land, this job, this money, this fixed income, this gift that somebody gave you. This pocket money is still an increase. Many people think when I get a salary, that's why you don't have a salary. Because you don't see increase. Bible says, he who is faithful in little, God will entrust you with much. He can't trust you with little. He will not trust you with much. That's why the tithe is not a fixed amount. It's based on a fraction of whatever you get. So nobody's cheated. So when you say your money is small, most likely when the money becomes big, you will not pay tithe. And God knows it. You can trick the pastor, but you can't trick God. Put your hands together for Jesus. So you think the pastor is receiving it, but as you've come, signs and wonders are happening. Right at the pulpit. Honey and milk and honey. Then verse 10. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which you, O Lord, have given me. Ladies and gentlemen, ungrateful people don't pay tithe. I'll say it again. If you're ungrateful, you will never pay tithe. Because tithe is a sign of gratitude to God. Look at what he's saying. He said, now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land which you, O Lord, have given me. Where was God when we were fighting for the land? Where was God when you were rising up early in the morning to go to work and you were coming tired? You nearly had an accident. That's the question you can ask yourself. But you can also tell yourself, it was God who gave me the wisdom, gave me the strength, gave me the blood flow, the heartbeat, who gave me the intelligence to do it, the favor to have a job, because my brother doesn't have a job. He shall say, oh Lord, you have given me. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God. Ladies and gentlemen, only people who believe pay tithe, who believe the Lord is your God. One sign of tithelessness is that the Lord is perhaps not your God. The church may be your church, but God is not your God. You come, you like the church, but you don't like God. The real test of those who love God is when you can give your tithe. Share. God, your partner, 10% belongs to you. That seed, I will not eat it. It's a deep sign of commitment to God. Forget about what the pastor is saying. I am not paid by the church. But even if I was paid, you should not worry. If I steal the tithe, God will deal with me. But you would have done your job. Clap for the Lord Jesus. You would have done your job. Then you shall set it before the Lord your God. Not before, it's not a pastor thing. And worship before the Lord your God. The tithe is an act of worship. It's one of the best acts of worship. You come and say, Lord, you are so good. And you keep your tithe. Your worship is not complete. But when you can share, it's a demonstration of your worship. So tithe is a form of worship. The next one, verse 11. So you shall rejoice when you do this. This is what's going to happen to you. The reason God makes you give tithe, so we've enumerated it, I'll enumerate it for you. Number one is to show gratitude. Number two, it's an act of worship. Number three, it's an acknowledgement of who has given you the money. Number four, it's a way of causing you to rejoice in a supernatural way. People who are tithers are happy people. People who are tithers, they enjoy their money. I'm telling you, it may be small, but they enjoy it. When you do this, so in this way, you shall rejoice in every good thing which the Lord your God has given to you and to your house. Clap for Jesus. You want happiness? It runs through sharing with God. You and the Levite and the stranger who is among you. He says, not only will you rejoice, but everybody around you will be happy. Ladies and gentlemen, the words are not finished, but the time is finished. I wish I had more to tell you more. I wish I had more time to tell you about what this. But thank God, the church is not finished. Thank God, the seasons are not finished. So all I can tell you, brother, you can sit down. You can write them down. Number one, tithe, every time you tithe, you honor God. Number, you can write them down. Just write them down and go. That's all. Oh, you know what? I'll refer you to this book. Buy one. But I've explained everything to you. I've explained it to you, and I think that it will bless you. Because these are the mysterious purposes of the tithe. And as you go on in life, I pray that God will make you above always and never beneath. Put your hand on your heart right now and pray. Tell the Lord, forgive me. Tell the Lord, forgive me. Tell the Lord, forgive me. Tell the Lord, forgive me for not tithing, for dishonoring you, for dishonoring your name. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. Rise to your feet. And pray. Tell the Lord, I will not eat the seed. I will create a future the way you created it. You know, ladies and gentlemen, God is amazing. He's left creation in your hands through the seed. You create your future. You create your promotion. You create your world with the seed. That fruit has its seed in itself. That source is in itself. I don't know how many of you have been eating your tithe. Don't look at this little man like me. I'm too small and too young to know anything. I'm saying it for you, my brother, my sister. It is the Lord speaking through me. You better believe it. If you even don't believe this man, believe the word of God and the scriptures that I quoted. If I brought my own ideas, you can walk away. I brought the ideas from the Lord, my brother. God is too sad about your situation. God knows, but he cannot go against his word. You've cried too long for God's help. But it's like a child who you have said, you just go to school and you make the grades. And he decides not to go. It's like a child who you are telling, just take the medicine and the pain will go away. But he refuses to take it. God says, yes, I know you're suffering, but I cannot pay the tithe for you. I can only give you the fruit and the seed is in itself. But it's now your time. I've done my part. I've given you your fruit. Will you give your seed? I've done my part. I've given you the 100%. Will you give your 10%? God says, stop crying after him and do what you need to do. And watch him perform. Watch him perform. May we have a 100% tithe paying church. 100% blessed church. A church that does not forsake God because we are now prospered and blessed. Because we now have money and we tell God you can go to hell. Really? Really? Father, forgive us. Put your hand on your heart and say, the Lord, I'm changed. I am changed. Transform my heart into somebody who honors you with the tithe of every increase. Now I understand. So help me, God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name.
We believe the Word of God has come through to you and you have been blessed. Come join our services at 5796 Shelby Oaks Drive in Bartlett, Tennessee, this and every Sunday at 9 a.m. and again at 10:45 a.m. Be blessed.